Pray, Heavenly Father, we're very grateful that you've given us the ability, Lord, to, through Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord, to stand before you, and that without condemnation, although we know that we are in ourselves worthy of condemnation, but we thank you, Lord, it's been told to us that you do not see us, you only hear our voices, not through the blood, and see our representation, Jesus Christ. And Lord, that brings great comfort. We know, however, that also we must, because of ourselves, judge ourselves, and then we're not judged. We know that life here is a purgatory. It's a purging place. And we trust, Lord, that we will be very, very amenable to, very desirous in our souls to accept whatever you have for us by way of training, because we know that it is in love. For, Lord, if you started us in love being your way of doing it, everything from start to finish, the one way, you would also have to be in love. So we appreciate that very much. Help us with our thoughts tonight. Guide our thoughts and our minds, Lord, and give us the ability, Father, in our lives by the Holy Spirit to live what we talk about. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I kind of thought that I was hoping that I might have finished for at least for some time to come concerning my thoughts on love, on that subject of love, and I find I ought to sort of recap tonight and then bring out a point or two further, which will come into your minds if I don't talk about it now. So we might as well bring it to your attention. Now, we're going to read in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verses 11 to 12, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Now, if we quote these verses, these two verses, and isolate them from the rest of the epistle that deals so much with love, you recognize this epistle, and all three deal with love, but this particularly. If we isolate these two verses from the rest of the epistle, then, that deals with love, we will not place love correctly with the word. Now, that's the great danger of the promise box. Remember the old promise box? Made a loaf of bread and you picked out a promise. And look, what you picked out was the word of God, but not necessarily the truth. Because you put a misinterpretation on it, or you isolate it from the context, you could be, in great danger. It's like playing Bible roulette. And so you mustn't isolate these two verses, but there's a propensity to do so because of the magnitude of the subject, and not only the magnitude of the subject, but the actual reality of the subject. See? So now, first of all, in isolating this verse, these two verses, and making love what I'm talking about here, the beginning, the message from the beginning, this is it, which I don't deny, but you got to watch where you're going. See, first of all, people tend to make it the evidence of the rebirth. See, now that's not true. See, there's just not. It sounds good, and personally, from a humanistic viewpoint, I appreciate people thinking that, but they're wrong. They're just wrong. That's all. See, it's not the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See, now you start taking this subject of love, isolating it, and you get in that kind of trouble. The evidence of the rebirth is receiving and believing the word of the hour. Amen. Now, let's just go to 1 John, the 4th chapter, and I said we're going to deal quite a bit in John, but we got to go other places too. Let's look at that 4th chapter, beginning in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Huh? Well, see, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I got love, and I see that person got love. So I feel that's loving spirit. Now, hold it. I see it sounds great. Now, I'm all for a loving spirit, now. Don't get me wrong. But you see where it leads you? See, now, try the spirits. Here's loving, lovely spirit. Whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, right off the bat, you're hit with something there. You're hit with the fact that spirits don't stand alone, and they've got to be judged, and that spirit that's got to be judged came originally from a prophet. who can be true or false. And prophets bring the word and reveal the word. See? And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, now that's a present tense thing, is not of God. Now that's where the Roman Catholic Church is right and we're wrong. But they perverted it. They got a pope or a vicar. I remember Brother Branham distinctly said that Peter was the Holy Ghost of the people that he went to. Right? He Brother Branham was the vicar of Christ for this age. You don't vote him into the College of Cardinals. Vicar means instead of. Paul was a vicar of Christ. He was instead of. In fact, he boiled it right down to you and me. He said, we're ambassadors instead of Christ. So, see, what we're dealing with here now, this now, that Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh. See, the idea is that with what the Catholic Church said, they're right, but they're wrong. Now, Brother Brand said, sure, he said the church can forgive sins. If you do it Peter's way, repent and be baptized. See? Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. This is the spirit of instead of Christ. See, Anti's instead of. Rob, you ever heard that it should come? You say, well, you said instead of. I did, but I'm put in the right sense. This is in the sense where a man usurps an authority. See? Well, you've heard it should come. Even now is already in the world. Jesus said himself, you're going to accept one that comes in his own name, and it's going to be too late. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, it tells you right there that you're able to judge, you're able to know what is true and what is false, and the word comes from a prophet, so you're perfectly safe. On what grounds? Because greater is he that's in you, what? The Holy Spirit, than he that's in the world, than that fellow out there that's making a mock of it. Why, what church could fool us? What person could come by and fool us? I'm not boasting right here. I'm just laying it out here because we've got the prophet's message. Now, if we don't want to check the word out, what these men are saying with the prophet's message, well, then fine. I mean, if you think you can make a certain kind of a cake without a recipe, go ahead. But you just try and match that chef over there in the Marriott over there in Columbus when it comes to cooking with chocolate. You just try and match him without his recipes, even with his recipes. See? Now, they are of the world, therefore speak ye of the world, and the world heareth them. Now, see, the world in there is a certain order. They don't speak of divine order, they speak of their own order. We are of God. He that knoweth God. Now, how do you know him? By the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He that is of God heareth us. He that is not of God does not hear us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and error. Now here it tells you right here, the great one within you picks up right now when it's off the word. Because you know whom to listen to. You know that's the one that stands there just as though Jesus himself was standing there because God's in the prophets. So therefore, you can talk about love all you want, but you got, and that's a beautiful spirit, but you got to check it. So therefore, to see what spirit is of, so therefore, there is no way that you can possibly say that love is the evidence. See? There's no way you can do it, but people will do it just the same. Now I said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now it tells you a little key right there, that if you are born of God, you will love. But it doesn't say because you do love, you are born of God. It said if you are born of God, you'll know the word. See? You'll know the manifestation of Christ the Word. You'll know Messiah. You'll understand what he is in this hour. Secondly, to isolate 1 John 3:11 and 12 is to make love the criterion of a Christian walk. Well, that's the next thing. They make it the criterion of a Christian walk. And that's true. It is, in many sense of the word, a criterion. But let's just go back to 1 John 1 again and read the first 7 verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested, we have seen it, and bear witness, and shown to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. In other words, absolutely proven to be God. In other words, this word, phanero, where the life was manifested, means that it is seen without a mask, in its true character, non-hypocritical. What you see is what you get. Yeah. Now just think about that for a second. All right? That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. We bring it out in full view. Tell you about it. That you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with Him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Now it tells you right there, the criterion is not love, it's the Word. That's why I said this church and anybody that listens to me, and I'm a lousy example. Please forgive me, but I just got to preach what's on my heart and my mind. And even if I'm a hypocrite, I'm not a hypocrite. I do my best to tell the truth. If it comes back on me and slaps me in the face. See, the thing is this, a church, and especially from this pulpit, like I'm preaching, so pardon your personal expression. You've heard me always say that if we love the Word, then we have to love each other. You've got to start with that Word, and from there, that Word never leads you into a place that's wrong. And if we do go wrong, that Word brings us back. See? So now, John tells you here that your fellowship and your walk depends upon the Word. Now, you can be just so loving and wonderful in being attentive to certain things and be just religious and entirely not spiritual. So you see, you just can't go ahead and say, well, all right, it's a criterion of a Christian walk. As Paul said, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Well, that tells you what it is, how to do it. You got light. You got Word. You know if you're in the Spirit or not. See? And if somebody else come along and say, well, you got a nasty spirit. Well, just a minute. Check her with the Word. You got a loving spirit. Check her with the Word. See, very, very important. We'll get to that. Don't worry. Now, John also said we ought to walk as Jesus walked, as He walked. See? Which, and then Jesus, who was the Word, said, which of you convinceth me of sin, or finds me off on one word? They found Him off on a lot of things. They called Him crazy. They called Him full of the devil. Mad. A babbler. And a guzzler, glutton. Sure. And look at Jesus' light. It was one constant confrontation on the Word. One constant confrontation. Now let's be honest. Let's go back to the book of John. And I'm not trying to rabble-rouse for my own opinions here. I'm just trying to get some things straightened out in our minds. And then we'll get back to the softer side. But this is the hard facts of the Word of God. And the Word will not change. Beginning at verse 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said, Christ comes of the seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was division among them. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the priests, the officer, to the chief priests, the Pharisees, and they said, why have you not brought him? The officer said, never man spake like this man. And the Pharisee said, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. How much did they know? They had their own cursed Talmud. And Jesus himself said, you've made void the commandments of God by your traditions. They didn't have a one blessed thing. But they had a certain type of walk, a legalistic walk. Nicodemus said to him, he that came by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? The answer said, art thou also out of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee rises no prophet. Why didn't they search and look? I tell you, it's awfully, awfully easy to forget certain things that transpire right under your nose. What about the slaughter of the children? In the time of Herod, when the wise men came looking for a little baby, about a 2-year-old, I guess it'd be about. Is the slaughter of little children so common that you suddenly forget? Where were those wise men headed for? See? Nobody wanted to find out. I guess that was the truth. Now, these verses here are based on John 7:14-19. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up to the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, never having learned? He's ignorant. And Jesus answered, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Now, if that held good with Jesus, what about you and me? We need teaching. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Know it's the will of God. See? Have faith in the one that was sent. And the faith is to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you'll know the doctrine. Now, he that speaketh himself seeks his own glory. But he that seeks his glory that sent him, the glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. No unrighteousness. So you couldn't possibly be wrong. Now listen, he says, search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, that you'll know the right way, and you'll find they plumb testify of me. You'll find me there. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keep the law? Why do you go about to kill me? The people answer, you got a devil. Who goes about to kill you? You talk about barefaced liars. Unless they all had a bunch of beards or something. You're a bunch of barefaced liars. Because it says right over here. It continues. He said, why didn't you bring us? We can get away with them. Do them away. Now, never let us forget that God said, your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. That's Isaiah 55:8. Now, I just quoted that one verse because I know that verse. Let's go back to Isaiah 55 and read 7-9 with it. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The thoughts of God and the ways of God are synonymous. Now how are you going to know the thoughts of God unless you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost according to 1 Corinthians? So then you wouldn't even know the first thing about love that you and I are supposed to walk in without the baptism with the Holy Ghost giving us the correct word of God. Oh, that's just plain as a nose in your face. Just absolutely scriptural and absolutely perfect. Thirdly, we fail to identify the source of love when we isolate those verses. Let's go to Romans, the 5th chapter. And the 5th verse. And it tells us clearly, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That tells you right there. You've got to have a special kind of love. He's shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost has one great mission, is to bring the Word of God. That's after the rebirth, and the rebirth is necessary for that Word. Because remember, they're going into Palestine, promised land. And he said, what makes this people so different? Because they got the law that God laid down through a prophet. Nobody else has got such a wonderful Word. And Paul says, Jesus said, sanctify them by thy Word. Thy Word is truth. By the washing of water of the Word. See? All right. 1 John 4:19. Saying, we love him because he first loved us. Let's go to Malachi. Go to the 1st chapter of Malachi. A couple of verses. Well, the 2nd verse. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? And the Lord, saith the Lord, and yet I loved Jacob and I hated Esau? Now, he loved us first. And that love went plump back before the foundation of the world. And then you have then a love from before the foundation of the world, when there was only thought and not word even. Go on. So where are we going? See why I say preach the way I preach? You've got to stay with this word, brother. I don't care if it's mechanical. There comes a day when God's got to do something with a mechanical word in a human vessel that's born again. See? He doesn't change. All right. Fourthly, we judge love by the spirit of a situation rather than the word, for we fail to realize there is a false love as well as a true love. Romans 12:9, let love be without dissimulation. That's hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. There's an old hypocrite come down here and he just throws love around like, you know, snow falling on the ground. Oh, what a lovely, lovely person. What a marvelous man. Love, love, love. Hypocrite. You're the appropriate hypocrite. See? Seducer, that's the word. But that's the name of the game. It doesn't have to be sexual. It can be any kind of seduction. 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. 22, 23. See, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. What makes you as righteous as God? God Himself. The Holy Spirit. We become the righteousness of God. Where is that? I don't think I've got that quote written down here, so I don't suppose any use even looking for it. No. It's one of the Feast of the Trumpets. Sorry. Now, see to love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now it says, now that you're born again, see, that you are an incorruptible seed, that, right? Always, somebody told me once that was sperma, spora, that seed you throw on the ground. See? You're of the incorruptible word. In other words, the spirit of the incorruptible word. See? Of God. You're born again. Then you have an unfeigned love instead of a feigned love. See? That's right. Now we're talking in terms of the extreme reality. That's right. I remember everything has a gradation. That's why I have to sort of not re-preach Sunday nights, but to give you further information, because we have to be very careful. So I find myself where I preach things, and I've got to say I'm very, very sorry that some people take it and they run with it. And it just kills you. You want to just quit preaching, just get out of everybody's way and forget it. See? Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, 3 verses. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not love, I am become a sounding brass and tingling cymbal. And though I have gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, have all faith so I can remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to burn, have not love, it profits nothing. So, you can see that there are certain things, that there is a spirit around it, that would seemingly prove love, but it's not. Seemingly prove a relationship to God, but not so. And if we want another illustration, let's take the one Brother Branham always used about the money changers. Knotted the ropes and beat them up. Kicked them out of the temple. And the priests come and say, well, now listen, you follow that renegade down there? Why, remember your kind old priest. He's the one that blessed the babies and loaned you money or got you money in times of trouble. Visited you when you were sick. He's the one that helped you. See? And you've got to watch that there is a true love and a false love. See, there's a hypocritical love. It's in the Bible. It tells you. So you don't need to think for 1 minute. We don't need to think for 1 minute that we're immune from these things. And go, oh, well, that's all right. Listen, it's not all right. Because the time you think it's all right, that's the time the devil's got you. When you think you can't be fooled. Now, you won't be deceived. You'll make it. We'll all get there. But this doesn't make us foolproof in the sense of moment by moment. It's moment by moment we walk. See, in that light of that word. People say we walk in love. That's true, but you better watch where the love's coming from. Is it your love or the love that came from the Holy Ghost? See, that made the love of the word? And word always has to be manifested. The word of the hour comes before you. What do you think of it? Brought out Sunday night. Like Jack Bell phoned me today. And mentioned how that he keeps remembering the verse I always quote from John 15. If I had not done the works of any man, no other man had done it, they had not sinned, but now they've both seen and hated both me and my father. Say, well, you hate God. Say, what do you mean you hate God? Well, you crucified, you killed his prophet. You turned down the word. Oh, that junk. You can't get people to acknowledge what we talk about now. Fifthly, we fail to consider that the passage of Scripture in 1 John 3, 11 and 12 is followed by verse 13. So let's go back and look at verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. All right. You notice in here, he's talking about the twins. We see the twins, Abel and Cain, or Cain and Abel. I put Abel first. All right.
They are twins. Cain killed Abel, his twin half-brother. All right. There's always been twins. Truth and error. Love and hate. Worship in God's will. Worship outside of God's will. God receiving worship and God rejecting worship. What do you think of that one? Yet every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. There's going to be a forced worship and a forced right worship. That he's Christ to the glory of God. See, that light that lighteth every man. There's no light but his light. I used to puzzle that the last week, about last week or so. I used to wonder, how could he be the light of every man? Everybody, no, but, well, very few ever hear the gospel. When you consider about close to 5 billion people in the world, once it's over 4 billion, close to 5 billion people. How many really heard? Paying attention, know anything. See? It's the only light there is. See, there's no other light that'll give light, and no other light that'll give light. See, it's all creeds and dogmas and ethics and morals, as Brother Branham said. All right. It's twins, good works, evil works. True church, false church. Bride and mate believer. Okay? Now, again, notice in verse 13 that Cain is identified with the world. He is not identified as a brother. No, it says here now, who slew his brother. That's natural. But also type spiritual. Because of natural killing. Remember in the book of Revelation, it said they dealt in the souls of men. Roman Catholic Church. Absolutely condemned Protestant Church the same thing. Don't call the kettle, pot can't call kettle black. No way, shape, and form. A woman goes down the street, she's a prostitute. She said, well, I was born in a house of prostitution. You can't expect me anything else but. That's exactly right. Mother and daughter, same couple of prostitutes. So don't try to give the Protestants a pedigree they don't own. See? The donkey doesn't, the mule, he doesn't have a pedigree. It's the horse got the pedigree. Cain is not identified as a brother. Well, there was a brother after the flesh, half-brother. But as an example of the world, clothed in religion, creeds, and dogmas, and traditions, instead of clothed in Christ, Holy Spirit, living word. Now, let me read you out of paragraph 58 and 59 out of Events Made Clear by Prophecy. I hope to maybe study this with you. All but first of 58. Now, every time that the church gets mixed up and God foreknew they would, for he foreknew all things, therefore he has a certain prophet ready for that age to call his electing by a vindicated word of signs and wonders and confirmation of his word, confirming the word of signs falling as he promised. He gives the true interpretation after the prophet himself has been vindicated. See, first of all, you get something to attract your attention, then you get it explained to you, and then you get the word brought, now that you believe him. All but those, the elected, to whom he has sent, hate him. Well, they hate the one that sent, they hate the one that sent him. Now, you can say what you want, because he's a prophet, a manifestation of the living word of God. This sounds very crazy to say a thing like that, but it's very true. It shows you just how far our minds were off the word until the prophet came. He really threw the bombs amongst them, bring me their atomic bombs. Now examine every instance and see if that's right or not. Only the ones he sent to. He came to his own received him, not with many, did receive him. To them gave power to become the sons of God. Or the authority to be seen. Notice, every examination of the word, in every instance, and end of every age, or climax or junction, as I've preached on many times. See, they're not going to go for the things of God. They haven't got them to do it. They'll turn the word down just every time. Now, all right. I'm sure by now we all have the point of view I'm speaking from. And this, then, is only for the bride. This message would be like a lead balloon in any church except churches like ours. And this is for the bride. She is not deceived. She does not add or take from the word. And she walks in the light and has fellowship and cleansing by the blood, totally sanctified by the word. Because then the daily separation is through the word of God. You knowing the word and you walking in the light of that word, enabled by the Holy Spirit, that spirit in your heart. Furthermore, we now see very clearly we're dealing with true religion and not politics or morals or ethics. Now that's the thing you see most people don't understand when you read the Bible. They think that they're dealing with a worldwide order. You're not. You're dealing with orders within orders. And this Bible is against clubs and ethics and morals per se. Lodges and churches per se. This book is not only an exposition, it's an exposure. See? You got to understand we're dealing in religion. A lot of people don't want to admit that. That's what you're dealing with. That's why they get mixed up with communism and Catholicism and can't understand that where the Catholics are, that's where communism goes. That they're the forerunners of it. The cause of it. Communism raised up to burn the harlot. You'd never convince them of that, but it's all right. They don't understand the Bible. See, they don't understand. It's not a book on politics and so on. This is the bride love, not society love, or social life, but Christ life. However, let's do a little further searching in order to deal with what I feel I wanted to deal with tonight to make a little more progress in the subject. Now, first of all, we're going to just go back and read two passages of Scripture. One is in Matthew 7, 15 to 23. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. For a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast the fire. Therefore, by the fruits you shall know them. Now that's the word. Not everyone that saith me, Lord, Lord, shall in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess them, I never knew you, there depart from me, you that work iniquity. Okay? I've got a breeze blowing here, I think. Was that air conditioner on more than it should be? I mean, check it out and see. I don't know the first thing about it, except that thing is kind of messing us up. Chapter 25 of Matthew. Okay, beginning of verse 31. Might not read it all. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all these holy angels with him, then shall sit upon the throne of his glory. Before him shall be gathered all nations, he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left, then shall the king say unto them, in his right hand, come, ye blessed, my Father, inherit the king prayer of you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungry, ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, ye took me naked, ye clothed me. I was sick, ye visited me. I was in prison, ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king shall answer and say, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then he saith unto them, the left hand, depart me, ye cursed everlasting life. Prepare the other angels, I was hungered and so on, and they'll go into everlasting punishment. Now, you will notice in Matthew 7 there is a total rejection. And you will notice gifts were pleaded in that total rejection. See, they stood up and they said, well, we had ministries. We had gifts. We had callings. They were able to do things. They're the false prophet class. There's no doubt about it. And those blind leaders of the blind, they're all falling into a ditch. All right. But in Matthew 25, there is an acceptance where foolish virgin, or maybe we could say just those whose names are in the book of life remaining there, not having been taken off.
You've got to leave the way it is. Yeah, okay. It is off there.
So you'll notice in here in Matthew 25, where in 7 there was a total rejection, and by the way, this is judgment, the white throne judgment in both cases, a total rejection on one hand and an acceptance on the other hand of those who were not in the Lamb's book of life but remaining in the book of life, evidently. Now there could be more than foolish virgin there because I don't know how you're going to place Israel and the church all the way, although they're quite synonymous. I'm not smart enough to place it, and I don't have a revelation, but I do have this much of revelation, that I know the names can be taken out of the book of life. And these evidently have their names remaining. So, all right, one place a total rejection, one place there is an acceptance. So here is the sum total of this series of messages that close with the white throne scriptures which I read you. Let us watch our spirits by watching our motives, and let our motives be of love, because in Matthew 25 it is evident that these people were only doing what was in their hearts to want done for themselves. Were they in the same position of prison, sickness, or destitution? No, bar none. Friend or foe. These people had something in their hearts. to do for others. They weren't born again. They aren't part of the bride. But they're allowed to come in. And there's only one thing I can place it to, and that is to a love. Cain had no right to hate, but he did. He killed his half-brother, then he rebuked God for rebuking him. There is no hate like religious hate, or hatred like religious hatred, as is seen by Esau and Ishmael and their descendants, and the Catholic Church, with its millions and millions of martyrs, 68 million just named in one book, never mind the others, and never mind the ones that died within her. See? There is only one right way to live life, and that is by love. That's right. So you see, we're coming down to the line where if anyone wants to dispute the subject, dispute all they want. Argue all they want. That's your privilege. I haven't finalized it as though I'm any great authority. But I'm doing my very best to lay it all out in front of us all on this subject of love that we can understand it. And I've described the love that comes through the bride. That is very true. His source is the Holy Spirit. And you cannot have that love. No way. Unless you're elected to it. Foreknown of Almighty God. You're born again. Because it comes by the Holy Spirit. And the evidence is being one with that word. And so therefore the love, whatever love you manifest, although you could, because you're human, betray yourself and the word. And I can do the same thing. I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody. But the bride alone is in a position to be an absolute when it comes to the things of God. And that is because of the absoluteness of God toward her. Not she didn't start it. He's the one that starts it. Now, let us love exactly as in 1 John 3, 16 to 24. So let's go back and look at it. This is our chapter. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now it says in one place, I can give my body burned. I can die for somebody. I can give everything I have to the destitute. And not one have once and not have love. Yet at the white throne judgment, there had to be something there that caused those people to do something for the bride of Christ. And that went right down in their record. Amen. See, they were predestinated to it. And they walk in. They're allowed to come in. Others turned right aside that might have been looked at as though, hey, these people really got it. Don't have it at all. You see, I work on that one scripture. If I had not done the works no other man had done, he had not sinned, but now they've both seen and hated both me and my father. Now you can't get away from that. No matter who you are, no matter who I am. And that condemns just about 99 and 99% of the 5 billion people in the world. If not, the whole 99 and 99 100%. Because when you deal with 5 billion, 1% is a lot of people. Because that's only 1/100th of 5 billion. Remember, that's 9 zeros, not 6. And knock off 2. There's nowhere near bride in this age. So you take 100 of that again. Keep bringing it down. Where are you going to? Just maybe conscious about right. That's 500 Brother Brandon talked about. Here, stop thinking of that. I didn't think of it just now, but my mind's not that good without a crayon. I'd have to chalk. I'd have to kind of work that out. I'll let you engineers do that. All right. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? On the other hand, give all that to the poor. You don't have it. You're a hypocrite. Right down the line. So you see where this puts us. It puts us right back to the real rebirth with the real evidence. And the real Spirit of God moving through you. And your motive, your spirit right. That's what Brother Branham said. That new spirit given in Ezekiel is one you have to have ahead of time to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost because your spirit is just plumb no good to begin with. you get a new spirit, then the Spirit of God can come in. Whether that's an actual spirit or whether it's an aura, I don't argue the point. It could be either one in my books, although I think it's an actual spirit, which creates then its own aura. All right? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now, this is a true logos. When the heart and the tongue is one with this word by the Holy Ghost. Now you're logos. That's right. James says so. Man that's lined up is perfect. Now John said, don't you be a hypocrite. You're lined up. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Tells you, you know, it says, you know what you're doing. Don't try to fool me, said John. You just don't fool yourself either. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now notice, he doesn't say that the keeping of commandments is the doing of those things pleasing. It says keep his commandments and those things that are pleasing. So therefore, you keep the word of God always before you, no matter what you do. It's the one vital way to check. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Now, it doesn't say they're synonymous. There's two things there. As he gave us commandment. So therefore, all these commandments up here are given in love. We do them because we love them. See? The loving kindness is more than life. Now it says, this is between the Lord Jesus Christ and love as he gave commandment. And he that keeps his commandments dwelleth in him and he in him. There again is the proof of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit he's given us. You know that you belong to God and you're in him and he in you by the rebirth. The rebirth answers to the blood. The old Pentecostal phrase, the Spirit answers to the blood, is 100% correct. Because if you're thoroughly cleansed by the blood, the Holy Ghost will come in. That's what it's all about. If you're thoroughly cleansed. All right. Also, 1 Corinthians. Back to the 13th chapter. Beginning now at the 4th verse. Look what love does. Love suffers long, is kind. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't vaunt itself, put itself first. Love doesn't, is not puffed up, not proud. And acts as though somebody. I remember one time I was in a on an elevator in a certain city where Brother Branham was. And I was doing a little work with him. And there was a young man that he named himself the youngest and greatest evangelist in the world. He called himself. He really named himself, you know. Like we got a paper from a man that said, you've heard the rest, now hear the best. So I went over to hear the best, and he wasn't even there. And there's maybe three people sitting in an empty room. And he said, nobody in his church wore glasses. I said, yes, because there's nobody there. I don't want to be, you know, nasty about things, but I'm just telling you the truth, what we're going through. And so I was in this elevator, this slim kid, and I won't mention his name, but he later on got to handing out a golden spikes or something with a big offering you can hang your faith on or something, and anointed pocketbooks, you know, all those things, you know. And you know how they do those things. And he was so puffed up, he couldn't even look at anybody. Well, I didn't want to be looked at anyway, you know, because a cat can look at the queen, you know, so that didn't bother me any. But, you know, you say people can't be that way. Are you kidding? Come on. This isn't puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. What, like Brother Branham said concerning women, according to the Bible, how they should be so unassuming and what have you. don't have to be a shrinking bonnet necessarily, but be real ladies. But today, pretty rough. And men, I guess men have made them that way. Seeking not her own. That's a tough one right there. All people like to push and get ahead of the other fella. See? If not easy to provoke, that's a good one right there. Shows real patience. And thinks no evil. In other words, can look at things and not impute a bad meaning to it, even though it's right in the open. Just say, well, just have to pray for that person. Won't speak wrong either. Rejoice in not iniquity. That's something like saying, well, I served the guy right. Or something bad hit somebody. We've all had streaks of that. But rejoices in truth. See? Notice what it first rejoices in, truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Dr. Woos translates it, or Woos, what do you want to call him? He always puts in his translation of love, self-sacrificial. Now, I don't think he's got a right to do that according to the Greek, but he made it what they call the expanded version, where he put it into a paraphrase. And by the paraphrase, I would say he's right. Because love is not expendable, but the person with love is expendable, evidently. He's got to put himself down. You know, if you look at Jesus' life, you'll see a perfect picture of love. And yet, every time when the word came up, that love he had caused a confrontation from which he wouldn't back down. Paul was the same way. All servants of God are the same way. A true servant of God will stand for that word. He won't fight about it, but he'll stand for it. And as Brother Branham said, if you're real brothers, you can quarrel bitterly and still part loving each other. And he said, I like people to disagree with me. Makes me examine the subject again, afresh, so I know where I really do stand. Now, so in preaching this message tonight, I trust it helps our minds and our souls, and to such an extent that it makes us, helps us to be living epistles of Christ. Now, I know that's our heart's desire. I don't say that we have any perfect love here except the love that God gave us. And that perfect love is just like the Garden of Eden. It was perfect but can be marred by man's free moral agency. That's the reason that God will take people off this earth. The scripture says they die prematurely. You can't trust them. You take them away early. That's why people have many things that befall them. Be they're corrected. On the other hand, there are many things that befall us that are very rough and rugged, but they simply are there to make us aware that God has an answer. That the question is only there because there was an answer in the first place. That all things are in Him. See? Now, looking at that white throne takes us also back. I suppose it's a Sermon on the Mount. I'm not quite sure. Maybe it's a little further on. I didn't bother looking this up. But remember, the Beatitudes, blessed are the merciful, for they'll be shown mercy. Brother Branham told us about visiting an old doctor one time. And I don't know that Brother Branham knew that man was saved or believed him to be born again. But as the old doctor lay there dying, Brother Branham said, recall some of the things he'd done as a doctor. For years and years, how he'd put himself out to help people. And he said, remember, as the man was dying, blessed are the merciful, for they'll be shown mercy. Now, Brother Branham didn't say the born again. He said that man was merciful. See, there are qualities that God respects. And that person may not be bright. That person named in the Book of Life, not Lamb's Book of Life. Because let never get deceived, taken out of there. But love is an important subject. And I have to preach this way tonight, although I don't claim anything for myself, any love, any great love. I won't claim anything along that line. To make the record clear that I am not against sentimentality or sloppy love. I'm not against love that weeps and howls in his grief for others. That's easily touched, that's sentimental. That backs away. That's timid. I'm not against any. Although bride love is not a timid love. No? Because she's not afraid to act this way because she knows that God's behind her. She knows He's with her. She's not afraid to cry. Although she knows crying doesn't do the work. But she'll work along with her tears. So I want it known, and I know these tapes go a lot of places. They'll even be interpreted or translated in other languages. That's not my will that they're being done that way. In fact, I'm scared of it. Because I don't figure that I know that much about the Word of God. But the record will be absolutely clear because we've got a record right here in three tapes. Trying to sum up that love emphatically is based upon, first of all, the born-again experience. Which, number one, the evidence is receiving the Word of God for the hour. And to turn that down shows that the love which should be shed abroad in the heart of a Christian cannot be there. There's no way it can be there. That love is actually not love at all, but is what I said a while ago, a sloppy sentimentality perhaps, not always every case, but could be. A religious spirit, definitely, in many cases. Or simply a code of ethics or an upbringing of some description. And the person unwittingly, unknowingly, absolutely blinded by the enemy, is a hater, and not realizing it, perhaps, of the very things of God and of God himself. So you see why I talk about love? Is you cannot talk about this subject knowing anything of a spiritual valuation without having been in this message that the prophet taught. And reading the Word of God from an understanding what the prophet gave us. So we believe in love. We believe in being emotional in love. Because it is an emotion in the sense of the word. But we don't believe in a love that's of God, that backs away from the word. And we don't believe in a sort of a love either that compromises. But we do believe in a real, genuine love that can love a brother and love anybody, actually under any condition, if we only will believe, because it takes the faith to do it. As Brother Branham said, you can love your enemies, and I know that to be true. He said, you don't think you can, but he said, you can. You can be like he was, and men of old, like St. Martin, praying for his detractors, not praying against them, not rejoicing over anything that might happen to them, not being carried away with some scripture that has been changed since the time of Jesus Christ, where he said, once you were taught to hate your enemies, now I say love your enemies. Once you're taught an eye for an eye, but he said that doesn't hold anymore. See? Once people were taught to withhold, but now it's a promise of giving. So we want the record totally clear that we believe that what Brother Branham had, that Jesus Christ had, that the great men that God put upon this earth had in Christianity, in the rebirth, they were just merely epistles read and known of men, that they belonged to Jesus Christ. And we in no way are withheld from the same love, the same things that were given to them, are given to all of us. Not their position now, not their gifts. But what comes out of it, you know, is ours. Remember Moses, a great gifted man. God said to him, stand upon the rock and then strike the rock and we'll bring water out. They did it. Next time he said, speak to the rock, and Moses wouldn't do it. He stood on the rock and struck the rock. The second time the water came. But you see, he glorified himself. He got to the promised land, as Brother Branham said. He was on Mount Transfiguration, Elijah and Jesus. He got there, don't worry. But he paid a price. He couldn't walk into the rest of them. Of course, you see, the law can't lead you in. It takes the Holy Spirit, Joshua is the Holy Spirit leading us in. The pillar of fire, Brother Branham says, is going to lead us into the millennium. But you see, Moses lost out. Why? Because he's angry with the people. He flared up and he said, must we draw water out of the rock for you rebels? Well, I think Moses had looked into his heart, and he was the meekest man ever lived. Man, what a pressure must 2 million people about. What a pressure must have been on that man. Look at poor Sister Branham. I think that was really an example for all of us. She was a faithful and good wife. Every wife needs your husband to help rear the children, bring them up, right? But Brother Branham was an instrument, especially in the hand of God. He couldn't be home. Like the restless wind, he had a call, but he also had a nature. And so, when she flared up, she ought not to flare it up. But no better woman ever lived than Sister Branham. No finer person ever lived. Wonderful, very, very wonderful person. See, look at Miriam. See? So, When you consider love, you must consider the full, broad aspect of it. Don't ever rule it out, no matter who is giving it, under what condition, and even if it's a hypocritical love. Don't even fuss about that. See, we're not supposed to have it. We got a real love. Brother Brand said, why grasp for the counterfeit when the heavens are full of the real? So we don't have a wrong love. We got a true love because we start being born of this word. Let me go back to 1 Peter and read it again. So we understand just exactly where we're at, and then we'll just let you go home because I preached about an hour now, almost an hour. And that's more than enough for me because it wears me down. Seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. You got it. Now the next thing is just, as Brother Brand said, he had a gift of getting out of the way. And that's the greatest gift in all the world to see. Learn to get out of the way and let Christ have his way. We're always a little afraid of Christ having his way, and yet it's the best way there is. We're always a little worried about what position we'll be in, but it's the best in the world. That's why Moses got in trouble. He didn't realize it. The best position of position in all the world is the position you're in with God, no matter what that position is. How do you feel when, how would you felt like when the fiery furnace, if you'd have been there confronting those three Hebrew children? Best place in all the world. But like it's the coolest place in town. The fiery furnace. You could use that in the vernacular of modern day or just the way I meant it, temperature wise. What about Daniel? Best place in the world is in that lion's den. The only lions in all captivity or out of captivity that really had their mouths closed couldn't hurt anybody. And that's the best place to be around lions when you got one can't open his mouth because God shut it. You know, here Daniel just walked back and forth. That's the way it is. Unfeigned love of the brethren comes from the rebirth. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. That fervent means white hot. Real, this is one place not to be cold. But make sure that you've got a real love there. See? You got it. You just put in action. Why? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, means you got a genuine true love. You got a genuine true temperance. A genuine true patience. Whatever you got is real. And if you want to know the intricacy of each of those things, you simply take it to the Word. And you know what? Where your patience belongs and everything else. Listen to Brother Branham, what he said about patience and those things. See? Out of corruptible word, see, but even corrupt by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now remember, Brother Branham said, all that ever loved you and you loved are going to be with you here. Now that's easy to see that tonight when you understand about love. Sure, you're born again. Why do we love Brother Branham? Well, he's a very loving person, that's true. But he was strictly human. We love him because of one great reason. He was a prophet with the ministry of the Word. And if you can't have love for that or understand what I'm saying on that point of why we love him and where the real love is, then you don't understand the ministry of Jesus Christ. Because then he said, will you also go? Brother Branham said, they answer, well, sink or swim, live or die. That's the exact words he said, sink or swim, live or die. Well, that's what the apostle said. We know that you have the words of eternal life. Anybody's got them, you got them. We're satisfied that you got them, so we're not looking any further. Now, if a man gave you words of eternal life, would you love him or wouldn't you?
Amen.
See? Now, what's the first major ingredient of love? Respect. Right in the Greek, respect. Now, let's talk about love in our own lives. Number one thing is respect. So, I want my rights. No, respect the other person's rights. Now, let's go a little further. Let's respect his rights. That's why it said you love his word and the things that please him. Love his commandments. See, it doesn't say, now you could take the Greek and there, you could use it's chi. You can say, well, that is a preposition at times. That's true. But in this case, No. There's no direct command to visit anybody in prison, as far as I know this in the Bible. But these people did it. But you see, it's in the human heart. There's something there from way back if the devil just hadn't crept in and messed us up. They're made in the image of God to express those qualities. But you see, the born-again person is back in that image. But the trouble is, there's an earthen vessel. Right? That's the bad part, the earthen vessel. So we just got to learn to gear ourselves down, realize what real love is. Brother Brand said compassion was doing the will of God. Love embraces compassion. Why? Because you can't stand to see the other person suffer unless you suffer. The Bible says, one suffer, all suffers. All one in Christ, one in each other. So that's what we're talking about in love. So anybody misunderstands from this point on, I'm sorry, I can't express myself any better. I've laid it up the best I can to show you from the Word of God and to let us all understand we all have something in this realm from God. And it's just exactly like faith. It'll increase as we use it. It'll begin to go further and further and further until, like Brother Branham said, West gives up and said, the world is my parish. There's nobody that, what was it, Will Rogers once said, I've never met a man I didn't like.
Amen.
How about the day coming when we can say, there's not a person I don't love in the name of Jesus Christ. And we don't have to use little worldly sayings like the Bible doesn't say you have to like them, it says you have to love them, which is true, but that's not God's word. You have to love them. If you love them, you will like them somehow, somewhere down the road. At least you'll say, well, they're like me. There's something in there, see? Like in those people's hearts. They didn't know they'd done something for God. They didn't know they'd ministered to the Lord Jesus Christ. But they went. There was love there. They saw themselves in the same position. So that's the subject at this point. I'm not going to preach Sunday morning as far as I know. So I won't continue the subject. I think we'll change to events made clear by prophecy if I have enough, you know, energy to preach. So the Lord bless you. I trust that you have received then a little more understanding. I hope so, because my own understanding is clearer than it has been. And I believe if God gives us something that is here in His Word that's made clearer to us, we have the prospect of performing His will. Shall we just rise at this time? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You again for Your love. And we thank You particularly, Lord, with faith tonight, in Your Word, that this love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's not our own love to begin with. We don't need to worry about it. We don't need to even consider quantity, quality, depths, anything else. It's like Paul said, I'm persuaded the love of God, nothing can separate me. Any height, depth, things exist and things that don't exist. No matter what it is, nothing separates me from that love. He had a view of it. We have that same love shed abroad in our hearts. So there's nothing beyond us. We recognize that. We have to admit to it tonight, Lord, and we do confess. The same as one day, all the world is going to have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They'll worship You. There won't be worship that's received. No, we know that. Because a lot are going to be rejected. But it'll be there and received in that sense. Because they have to do it. And they'll do it. They'll know. And they'll know too late. And Lord, tonight we know that we have this love that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And I pray, Lord, that we'll understand that this love has every right to the preeminence in our lives. That since You are love and the Holy Spirit is You shed abroad in our hearts, we can absolutely walk like You in that measure that's granted to us in this hour, because we know that we're not perfect in the flesh, but we can grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So help us from this time on, Lord, to let every barrier down. As people who know learn how to swim, commit themselves to the water, just to learn to rest upon it to float. As people learn to commit themselves to instructors who will teach them. Lord, tonight, we want to know in a greater measure, as we've never known before, how to commit ourselves to the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, that we might, in turn, shed it upon others. And that's what we want to do. And Lord, if it's a humbling thing, all the better. And if it's a giving thing, all the better. If it's a losing thing, we got to lose face and this and that. Our pride, our creeds, our dogmas, this, that, and the other. I don't know if we all have to lose, but Lord, we're going to lose something. Get out of the way. Lose ourselves in totality. That's what it'll amount to. Let it be, Lord. I know that in our prayer tonight, Lord, we're saying things that open the door to great problems of temptation, testing, trying, this and that. But there again, Lord, we know that we're not opening our mouths with a bravado or some type of insolence toward you. What it is we're pleading, Lord, that with your help, and you've helped us thus far, and we've seen your mercy, seen your grace, seen your love, seen your manifestation of yourself, all these things we've seen, know without a doubt it's God. Lord, we're just trying to come to you in such a way that leaving here, we will assure ourselves in your presence, the presence of each other, that we can and will have an expanded life, that our lives are not constricted by anything outside. It's absolutely, totally controlled by what's inside. It's up to us. And Lord, I just pray now from now on that, and I'm praying for myself and praying for the people here, Lord, that every barrier goes down. And even though, no matter what it takes, we learned our lesson. That this is a great lesson to love, no matter what. To turn away the ear, the eye, the mouth, the thoughts, passions, whatever they are, anything whatsoever, the emotions, reactions, all those things, turn them right away and just let love come forth. Father, this is what we hungered forth it for anyway. And when we get there, we're going to see perfect love. Brother Branham himself went there, Lord, somehow, with spirit or however, I don't know, and he doesn't know. But he came back saying everything there is perfect love. And Lord, we've got a measure here that needs exposure. So we're pleading tonight against ourselves. And not pleading with you, Lord, as though you haven't done enough. No way, shape, and form. But pleading, Lord, against ourselves, that somehow we can open the door wider and wider, the soul's gates wider and wider, to you, Lord, and your attributes, and especially that of love. Once more it can be said of the world how those brethren love each other. And it won't be a feigned, it won't be ecumenical, it'll be a genuine, I and my Father and my brothers and sisters are one love. That's the kind of love, Lord. And we realize it. And walk in the light as He is in light, having fellowship with you and with each other. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansing every step. Going on. Until his brother Branham said, prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, that's what we all long for. And we know, Lord, that it's always been with us. It's with us. It's with us now, the full potential. Self-confessed, we stand before you and give you glory, Lord. Every word you say is true. But we came into the world born in sin, speaking lies, Lord. Just there's nothing, Father, in our hands we bring tonight, nothing. In ourselves, we just say, Father, it's all yours is the glory. And whatever is going to be done is going to be done by you and your attributes working in and through us. So that's why we pray for what Brother Branham had in our own measure, in our own way, a gift to get out of the way, that you might have the rights, give you your rights, your respects. We ask these mercies, Lord, because time is closing out. We need the greater sincerity, the greater respect, and that great love. May it settle upon the congregation tonight. Every mind here, and those that worship with us, though they're not here, may it settle down upon their minds, down deep in their hearts, right within the soul, until it comes forth, anointing upon their spirit, and they're walking in scriptural, holy love of God. And unto thee, Lord, we'll ascribe all the honor and all the glory, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's just sing. How about singing for a change? We'll walk in the light. We haven't done that for a long time. Who knows how to start that, Norm?